New York. You're sure to find something new and sometimes controversy.
And now for a special audition of Off the Hook. Emmanuel, Isaac.
Heller. You're listening to 99.5 WBAI, and this is Off the Hook. Despite the fact that we do not have our theme music, we are, in fact, here. Emmanuel, are you on the line, sir?
Yeah, I have the theme music with me. Unfortunately, I'm on the FDR Drive right now. You want to talk about conspiracies, like the program before us was doing. I think there's a conspiracy to keep me from getting into the studio tonight. And just about everybody who's on the road seems to be taking part in it. For those outside the area, this is New York. We had a little bit of rain today, and apparently that means that everybody has to drive super cautiously. Like, you know, I did about 15 miles an hour all the way in here.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, and right now I'm stopped on the FDR Drive for no reason. There's just no reason to do this. The road's a bit wet, and how people react to this quite a bit of danger.
Well, I suffered a similar nightmare with the Long Island Railroad trying to get into Penn Station, which should have been a 45-minute long ride turned into an hour and a half very easily. There's a track fire.
How do trains not make it through? You know.
Well, it wasn't rain. It was a track fire at Penn Station, which of course made my transfer to the subway a little more interesting because it was actually raining on the platform, underground, from the water dropping in from the tracks above. It was somewhat amusing, except for the fact that I only got here about 10 minutes before we went on air.
Yeah, it's really it's been a lot of fun all day. How does the track catch on fire anyway? That's another thing I
doubt very much the track catches on fire, but this is all the more reason you shouldn't be throwing those paper bags and things onto there, because you never know what'll happen.
If you happen to be listening to us and you're on the FDR Drive, please pull over and let me go through, because this is ridiculous. doing something like 5 miles an hour here, and by this rate, I'll be lucky if I make it by the end of the show. So anyway, other than that, Isaac, how's your week been?
Oh, well, my week's been somewhat entertaining. Actually, I'm gearing up for tomorrow's RSA patent expiration party.
Come on, you moron. Sorry. Oh, my other phone's ringing now.
Your other phone's ringing?
I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm gearing up for my RSA patent expiration party. Now, tomorrow, September 20th, RSA, the asymmetric encryption algorithm, which is patented, the patent expires, thereby making it free for just about anyone to use. It becomes public domain, which is a lot of fun. Now, you know, this was a lot more exciting about a month and a half ago. Ooh, we lost it. This was a lot more exciting about a month and a half ago when, or rather it was before, RSA fairly recently, as a number of weeks ago, decided that they were going to prematurely release RSA to the public with certain restrictions, and I honestly don't know what those restrictions are because I really didn't care. For the 21 days or so that they would be in place, it wasn't even worth considering. So as of tomorrow, RSA, the happy encryption algorithm, is free.
The happy encryption
Happy algorithm. Encryption algorithm.
What makes it happy?
Mnemod N.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Mnemod N. But
all right.
We won't go into that. Well, let's see. Also on the crypto front, fairly recently there was an announcement of certain problems in PGP versions 5 and above, where there was the possibility of having an additional decryption key piggybacked onto your public key. Now, this probably wouldn't have been a problem if it wasn't for the use of public key servers and that kind of infrastructure, because PGP is supposed to work on this web of trust model, where I hand you a key, you hand me your key, and we verify that these are, in fact, the keys. The issue kind of came up when people would just dump their public keys on servers, and there was a potential that a third party could...
Which would not be the government, because we can trust them.
Oh, no, it would never be the government. Not GCHQ, not NSA, none of those fine, fine people down in Langley and over yonder on the other side of the pond. They would never be involved in piggybacking on their own decryption key to the public keys. Now, this wouldn't have been a problem if the software was properly written so as to detect the fact that there was an additional decryption key, or an ADK, on the messages as you're receiving them. Well, the reason for this was the fellow that decided, at least in the case of the Unix port, as I discovered on Slashdot, he went on to this long whining sort of thing where, well, I didn't know, and I wasn't sure, and I needed to get it out really quickly because it was this, that, and the other thing, and then, yeah, yeah. Well, my favorite response to that was by another fella on an unrelated list who stated quite simply, hey there, moron, this is serious security software. This isn't like, you know, Palm Pilot Pocket Pong. You know, this is PGP. I think you can spend a week, you know, working out the bugs that you obviously knew was there. But
I don't know. I demand no bugs in my Pocket Pong.
Oh, well, hey, you know, that's you in Pocket Pong. But anyway, for those PGP users out there, I suggest strongly that you upgrade to 6.5.8.
Or of course, get the free GNU Privacy Guard.
Yes, GNU PG. GPG is supposed to be fairly good. I've never used it, actually.
I use it. It works.
Yeah, I limit myself to PGP 2.6, the 2.6.2, 2.6.3 series international. But guess
can I,
what?
Can I report a moron on the radio, please?
Certainly, report a moron, sir. I'm
everything
sorry.
Everything possible to prevent me from getting through. Driving an SUV. I guess I shouldn't give out the license plate. You know what? I'll just deal with this myself. I'll just take care of it myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So other than traffic, how are you doing there?
Well, it's been a fun week. Just busy working on all kinds of projects. We have the autumn issue, which is all done and being printed right now, so it'll be out in about another week or so. That's always fun when we get an issue finished.
So I think it stands in a matter of weeks then.
Yeah, it should be on the stands, however long it takes to distribute. You know, something interesting, last week, if you recall, we played that little song, the
Yes.
Get Best song.
Yes.
And, you know, it's it was interesting because as soon as I got back on the net after the show, I found out that MP3.com had banned that song.
Yes, it did.
They banned the song because of offensive lyrics. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen the kinds of songs that you can find on MP3.com. There are all kinds of offensive lyrics. Every single four-letter word that I've ever heard of, along with a few new ones, all kinds of concepts of, well, let's just say alternative lifestyles that some might find objectionable. Like killing people and things like that as a lifestyle. And that's no problem. That's not offensive. But the source code for DECSS in music is too much for them. And they banned it from the site. Oh, you know what? I think we're coming up to an accident here. Oh, it's actually good when you have an accident because that means that the traffic will flow after that.
Oh, it explains the problem, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll see if I can get everybody a good bird's eye view of this. Go ahead.
All right.
Thank you, Wave. Typical.
No thank you, Wave. You see, people don't do that anymore. That's a problem. I think we need more thank you waves.
Okay.
We need a lot more, you know, gesticulations between drivers on the road.
Getting up to 10 miles an hour now.
Gas.
All right. I thought that was really amazing that they actually would ban a song. And it also got me wondering, you know, when I came into the studio last week and we played that, I had no doubt that that was a song, that was expression, that was something that was completely protected. Now I'm not so sure. That song is now on our website, but technically DECSS is on our website again in the form of a song.
You know, that song is kind of useless to build DECSS because you don't have any of the tables and you're missing all the other functions. So, essentially, if they ban that song, they're blocking what is purely political speech. It has really no other function.
Well, of course. But, you know, how many people were able to take what was on our website and make it fully functional? You know, I'd say a handful at best. I got nothing but email from people saying, oh, you know, this isn't working properly. How do you do this? What kind of platform do you need? And it was a funny thing, too, after the court case was decided and after all the newspaper reports went out talking about how DECSS was basically all about copying, that's when I started getting mail from people wanting to know how to copy things. You know, up until then, nobody was interested in it. But as soon as the news stories went out and made us into the pirates that Judge Kaplan seems to think we are, then we started getting all the email from people that really wanted to get something for free. And that's not what this was ever about. But the media has succeeded in turning it into that.
Well, that's what they do. They push whatever idea they like to.
I'm passing the Manhattan Bridge now for anybody who might be outside watching as I hurtle down the FDR Drive.
Yes, for those not aware, Emmanuel is stuck in traffic on the FDR Drive, slowly crawling his way to the studio.
I'm no longer stuck in traffic. I'm flying at a pretty good pace.
A whole 15 miles an hour?
No, I'm actually doing 55.
Really?
Yeah, so if you're in a building around here, please flash your lights. I'd like to see the listeners. There you go. Left the subway, never mind. Okay. That's just my problem. I tried to reach Bernie S., and
yes.
He, unfortunately, his phone doesn't seem to be working. So that would be another voice to have. I have some written material I wanted to focus on, but it's not really safe to be reading stuff while I'm driving, especially in the rain.
Yes, you're already occupied with the steering wheel, the cell phone,
yes.
You know, trying to keep your thoughts coherent.
Do you want to take some calls? We could do that.
We could take some calls at 213.
I have to be on the VIP line, though, so that...
yeah, you're over yonder.
Okay, and you have to make VIP sure you don't disconnect me every time you take a call. But, yeah, take a few calls. I should be there probably within about 5 to 7 minutes.
All righty. That's 212-209-2900. Well, waiting for the board to light up here a second. Anywho, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing all right.
You're doing all right? Nothing exciting going on in your week?
Not really, no.
Really? That's somewhat depressing. Okay, here we go. We got a couple of calls here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, Isaac.
Oh, hello, Rebel. How are you, sir?
You know, when I was using a coconut...
Hang on a second. Rebel, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Emmanuel.
All right. How you doing? How are you today?
Yes.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Everything cool?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're feeling good? You're feeling happy?
Yeah, isn't anonymous call? No, I'm not feeling happy.
Wait.
Hey,
we can
you know
get
what?
To that later. We can get to that later. What's most important right now is how you're doing.
Good.
You're doing good, you say?
Right.
Okay, Rebel, I got something that I got to talk to you about. It's a little pressing matter here.
Uh-huh.
While I was driving just now, you may have heard on the radio, you may have heard my phone ring.
Well, right.
I was to my surprise when I called that number.
And I heard the
answer. But when I did a little backtracing on it, through some connections I have, I discovered that that's your phone number.
Right, obviously if you call the phone number, I'm going to answer it.
Yeah, your phone number. Your phone number has been calling my phone at the beginning of every show now for a bunch of weeks. Now, I guess that's funny where you come from.
Right.
You think it's funny, huh?
Yes, Emmanuel.
All right, Rebel, this is what I'm going to do, all right? Are you listening?
I'm here.
Okay. I'm going to impose a 3-month moratorium on conversations with you.
Dun, dun, dun.
3 months.
Which means what?
Please, let me finish. If you are to call this radio show again within that 3-month period, for every time you do that, an additional month will be imposed on that sentence. Do you understand what I have said?
Would that mean
do you understand what I have said? Yes or no?
Does that mean you'll not be taking my phone call for 3 months?
For 3 months from this date. Isaac, you have a calendar there.
I do have a calendar here. I just
okay,
had
please tell us what the next date Rebel may call is.
Okay.
Let me use this also as a warning to all, you know, Rebel imitators out there, although I don't think there are any, that this kind of thing will not be tolerated lightly. It may be tolerated, just not lightly.
All right, well, today is the 19th.
So it would be December 19th or the
December
Tuesday
19th.
Following that.
Well, are we doing 12 weeks or are we doing 3 months?
3 months.
3 months?
3 months would be 90 days.
That would, okay, so that would probably be in December. The third Tuesday of December.
So if we hear your cheery voice before then, Rebel, it won't be so cheery.
Okay, now can I make my point?
No, you see, that's effective immediately. Isaac, will you please release the call?
Certainly.
And let's move on to...
we'll move on to another caller here.
Less abusive to the host of the radio program. You know, I could have been killed picking up that phone.
That's true.
I could have been killed driving on the FDR drive in the rain.
You never know.
They don't care. They just don't care.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hey.
How you doing?
All right. First off, I want to buy Emmanuel a beer for the moratorium.
I'd like that. I'd like that very much. Just not now when I'm driving.
Yes, he is driving.
No, but
I'm on Wall Street,
stop.
By the way.
You are on Wall Street.
Yeah.
Oh, so you still have to pump many quarters into that meter and then...
yeah, you know, I'd kind of like to do that live because I've never done this live on the air before where I can demonstrate how they actually rip you off. Almost every time I do this, if it's not broken, half the time the meter's broken, it doesn't take any money, which is good. But the times that it does, it just skips. You know, you put a quarter in and it just doesn't register.
Right. Anything else going on?
No, I heard the Rebel calling in first time as always, and I've been here for years, and first time caller, you know.
Excellent, good to hear from you.
Where are you calling from?
That's right. Southern New Jersey, actually, Jersey Shore.
My condolences.
Actually, no, it's nice. All the people have gone up north, it's nice, it's quiet down here, got the beach all to ourselves again, it's a plus.
Well, that's not bad.
All right, I'm at the parking meter now.
All right. Well, we'll move on.
Right.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks again. Bye.
Bye-bye.
right. This is a working quirky meter. It's a rarity. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put 2 hours worth. So that's, I think, 12 quarters total. So here comes the first quarter. 10 minutes. Second quarter. 20 minutes. Okay, so far it's working perfectly. I am up to 40 minutes so far.
40 minutes worth of time.
And here's my first hour. All right.
Well, you don't need... And do you need a whole hour? I mean, you're only getting here now.
I'll just put two hours in just because it's easy to remember. Two hours. All right, up to an hour and 30 minutes. Hour and 40 minutes.
I'm going to take another caller.
Two more quarters. Well, you know, if it's going to mess up, it's going to mess up now.
All right.
Hour 50.
Hello, you're on the air.
Good evening, sir.
Oh, geez. Let's try again.
Was that Rebel?
Yes, it was.
Now, let's be clear on this. Was it somebody imitating Rebel, or was it Rebel?
It sounded like Rebel. Trying to disguise his voice. We'll move on.
What we'll have to do is we'll have to have a meeting after the show and listen to a tape, make sure that that was Rebel. If, in fact, it was Rebel, then it has now become 4 months. And Isaac, do you have your calendar to...
No, you can add 1 month to that calendar.
Yeah, that would be in January, the third week of January.
We need an exact date just to be legal.
I can find my calendar here in a moment. And here it comes. I have one of these nifty little sharp wizards.
Signing in downstairs now.
Signing in downstairs. Now tell the security guard I say hi.
Well, there's no security guard here. I'm in.
Really? Yeah. Then what are you signing for?
I don't know. It's because I don't know how else to get in.
We'll take another caller. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
I felt I had to compete with Rebel's record.
That would be the 16th of January, by the way.
I'm in the elevator now. And this is the earliest I call her a difficult.
Hello.
Hello. I'm waiting for Emmanuel's phone to die.
Okay. I actually have some interesting bits of information.
Then share it with us.
My phone should die.
I have an article here on Echelon.
You do? Excellent.
Which is, for those of you who do not know, is the NSA's global surveillance network. And finally, members of the mainstream media are starting to acknowledge that it actually exists. And this article was in a terrible magazine called Yahoo Internet Life.
You know, it's amazing. My phone didn't die. I came up the elevator and it worked perfectly.
He's right out the window there. Here he comes. All right, I'm going to have to leave this chair, but I'll keep the mic live so you can hear us stumble past each other. There he is.
Hello, how you doing?
Oh, excellent echo. I like that. Hold on.
When you're on hold.
Yes.
I guess I can hang up now.
Yeah, be a good idea. All right.
When you're on hold. There's a slight delay, but the delay isn't on the phone. Do we lose our caller?
No,
he's still on
the phone. Oh, you lost me.
I lost you? Yes, I lost
you.
Oh, you hung up.
Let me put this caller on hold, and I'll release myself.
There you go.
All right, and then we'll pick the caller back up. Caller, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, the interesting thing, though, is when you're on hold, and I didn't realize this before. There's no way to ever know this unless you called. There's a slight delay, but the delay is... on the air. No, it's on the phone, actually.
Yes.
The air comes first, and then the phone happens. I mean, that's kind of weird.
Isn't that kind of silly?
That's very weird.
Well, this is why I always wind up stepping on top of Bernie while he calls.
Uh-huh.
Ah, there's the blank tape. By the way, if anyone is recording this show, we'd appreciate a tape.
Hopefully, Junce is. He usually is pretty good at that.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. All right. I'm really sorry about this, folks. But, I mean, really, come on. It's just rain. It's just rain, and everybody's doing 10 miles an hour in the expressway. There's no reason for this.
You want to play the theme at the bottom of the hour just for kicks?
The theme, yeah. I have the theme here somewhere. But continue, caller.
Okie dokie. Where did I leave it? Yes. Echelon.
Yahoo Internet Life. Horrible magazine.
Horrible, terrible magazine. And please know, I do not usually read this. It just said privacy, a special report on the cover, so I decided to buy it. But it's quite interesting that they did a whole thing on encryption, privacy. They did not mention the word hacker in a negative context once.
Imagine that.
And this thing about Echelon is quite interesting because it doesn't pose it as some kind of ridiculous thing thought up by crackpots, but actually an actual existing thing.
Which it is.
Okay, that's our theme. We played it there. Yes, everyone's happy. Okay, any other comments on this?
Well, no, I guess not.
All right.
Good talking to you as always.
Thanks for the call. I'm still getting myself together here. I'm sorry for the confusion. Oh, boy. So, yes, it's been a fun week. We talked about the MP3 thing, and that was kind of shocking that they actually would... I guess, you know, it's a private company. They're kind of panicky, I guess.
Publicly traded.
Publicly traded
company. They don't want to put themselves into a place where they probably don't want to be.
Yeah, but, so, you know, they sort of...
Erring on the side of caution.
They're sort of there already, you know, just MP3.com, in case you haven't been following, yeah, has been sued for megabucks recently, yeah, so you'd think that they'd have some guts.
Don't they have a multi-million dollar judgment against them now?
Yeah, it makes ours pale by comparison. Oh. I mean, ours is more important freedom of speech-wise, but theirs, you know, I mean, we're only talking about, what, $7 million here in legal fees, but they're in the hundreds of millions. I can't figure that out. I really can't. Anyway, I don't know if you saw this, but there's a special little report from the Computer Emergency Response Team. CERT. CERT says attacks pose threat to internet infrastructure. They've said that many, many times, but they're saying it again. The nation's government-funded computer security watchdog issued a warning Friday that computer intruders have taken control of hundreds of computers connected to the internet. The attackers are in a position to launch a serious attack, according to the CERT Coordination Center, which said that the situation poses a significant threat to internet sites and the internet infrastructure.
I heard about this.
Isn't this amazing? They don't say anything specific, but they get everybody to panic.
I heard an even less specific article, or rather it breezed by my desk, where the headline was, Hacker Zombie Army Poses Threat to Internet.
Actually, it says that right above here. Hackers amass zombie army. But, you know, I think that might be the title that the person who sent this to us gave. Yeah, because there's another headline underneath it, so I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Did you get the CERT advisory a couple of weeks ago?
I might have seen it. Which one is this?
It was very descriptive. It was new virus from Philippines.
Okay.
That's it. That was it.
You mean there was no details on the new virus from the Philippines?
Nothing.
We should make up things ourselves, you know?
To the point where I had to start questioning that this is CERT, where, you know, the lag time between when CERT releases something is about 6 to 8 months. So I thought, oh, wow, this is the Melissa thing finally coming out.
Wouldn't it be great if you just released panicky headlines that had nothing to do with computers? You know, there's something...
Drop them out into...
Harry Wildman on 6th Avenue, you know? nobody knows what it is, but, you know, to avoid things like that. Yeah, that's
silly.
Computer vandals are exploiting two fairly common vulnerabilities in Unix computer systems discovered since July. In about 100 cases since then, intruders have used the vulnerabilities to install distributed denial-of-service tools on machines, according to CERT Incident Response Team leader Kevin Hull. Those tools figured prominently in February's well-publicized attacks on big-name websites like Yahoo, Amazon, and CNN. New reports are coming in at the rate of about 2 to 5 per day. In one incident, we recorded over 560 hosts at 220 internet sites around the world as being a part of a Tribe Flood Network 2000 DDoS network. It's a double network there. Tribal flood networks allow a single attacker to control an army of zombie computers remotely. The bandwidth of all those computers can then be brought to bear on a single target website, flooding it with traffic and effectively shutting it down. There's nothing new in here at all.
No.
They come up with numbers and say that they've observed this, but nothing specific. You know, nothing that is really helpful, just things that will make people panic a little bit more.
Ignored.
Yeah, really. What else is going on? Well, some interesting things in San Francisco. The National Association of Broadcasters is meeting out there. If you heard about this, these are the people that kind of own the airwaves. And there's all kinds of demonstrations and things going on out there, and actions and panels and various things like that. I'm told that the website that people can find out more about that is www.mediademocracynow.org. It's one word, mediademocracynow.org. Would you like to hear a list of NAB crimes, Isaac?
Must I?
Yes. Censoring and misrepresenting news that is in direct conflict with the corporate agenda. The NAB was instrumental in the passing of certain parts of the Telecommunications Act of 1996. The most objectionable is a provision making analog TV broadcasting after, they say after 200, but I think they're supposed to be in the fourth digit there. I'm not sure what that digit is anymore. It keeps getting pushed back. I think it was 2005. I think now it's further back.
2000X.
Yeah. So somewhere in the first 10 years of 2000, a provision making analog TV broadcasting illegal. Not deprecated, illegal. Those people who don't want to buy new TVs or expensive converter sets will be out of luck. Now, that's especially interesting. I don't know if you've
been
following.
Why don't I really believe that?
Well, you should follow what the FCC is ruling. Did you read last week's FCC rulings?
I did not read last week's
FCC. It's exactly what we predicted. They are imposing copyright restrictions on VCRs, new VCRs for digital TVs. If They don't want you to record the program. You will not be able to record it, period. It'll be just like how the DVDs are encrypted now, except it'll be over the airwaves. Say goodbye to fair use. Say goodbye to being able to record your favorite show.
Well, you can just buy a VC. You can just buy a VHS. That's right. Yes. Judge Kaplan and
that's,
his infinite
that's
wisdom.
That's Judge Kaplan's view of it, but the point is there's not going to be any VHS. There's not going to be any analog TV. We're propelling ourselves into this world where we have no choice. We'll have to use digital technology and use all the restrictions and controls. And NAB, MPAA, RIAA, they all love it. But the consumer is going to lose.
Well, you know that someone's going to find some, you know, pad to desolder on a set-top box to let them record.
Yeah, and that person's
going to be dragged into jail.
That person's going to go to jail. That's what happens.
What's interesting is the people that were fighting that ruling is the Association of VCR Makers, whatever they're called, which I'm sure includes people like our friends at Sony. And these companies are now suing themselves.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to last too long. I think the real enemy will be people like us, and they'll have a good time hauling our asses to jail and court and things like that. But it's frightening. It was on the FCC website. It's being publicized all over the place. And people are surprised. I mean, this was a natural progression of the DMCA. It wasn't going to stop at DVDs. It's not going to stop with just video technology. You'll have the same kinds of restrictions on music. You have the same kinds of restrictions on broadcasting on radio. Imagine that. People won't be able to record this radio program if, you know, some power that be says they're not allowed to do it. You know? It just physically will not be. I mean, yeah, you can hold a microphone up to a speaker with an analog machine, I guess. But what kind of quality will you wind up with? So that's the bad news from there. And that's what makes, I think, the NAB thing a lot more pertinent as well. So hopefully people will check that out. Maybe we'll get a report next week on that. Have you been following all this this debate news, Isaac?
Which debate news?
The presidential debate.
The actual presidential debate or the Hillary Clinton-Rick Lazio debates?
Well, I don't know. Are they running for president?
No, they're not.
Well, then how do you call that a presidential debate?
Well, the big debate that I've been following recently was the Lazio-Hillary thing. But okay, the
but
presidential
I said
debates.
Presidential debate.
Yes,
so, I mean, you don't have to inject Hillary Clinton into this.
Very well.
All right, so...
I don't particularly want to inject Hillary Clinton into anything.
Well, whatever. The point is, a simple question here.
Have you been following the debates? They haven't debated yet.
They haven't debated yet, but they announced a schedule.
They have.
They announced a schedule of three debates.
Other than,
of course, the
Oprah shows that have been on yesterday and today.
Yeah, that's not really a debate.
This is the same schedule they announced months ago, but now, you know, Bush has said he's descended to the level of, you know, agreeing to what he's told to do or something.
Yeah, and the first one takes place 2 weeks from tonight in Boston on October 3rd. Interesting thing, though, is that without any kind of discussion or anything like that, they've just decided to exclude all of the candidates. Just Bush and Gore. Don't want to hear from Nader. Don't want to hear from Buchanan. Uh-uh. Sorry.
This is the one that's organized by that national board that appeared out of nowhere in 88 or...
Yeah, I don't know when it appeared, but there's a national presidential...
Debate. Debate, what, commission,
yeah, but it's made up of Democrats and Republicans, right. So obviously they're only going to choose Democrats and Republicans, but I don't know. I wanted to ask you, what do you think we should do about this? Because do you think it's unfair that third-party candidates can't take part in this kind of debate?
Well, I, for one, would like to see Harry Brown speak, but, you know.
All right. I'd like to see as many people as possible. You do have to draw the line someplace where you have, you know, 200 people there.
Yeah. I'm practically guaranteed 20 write-ins this election. I want to get on stage.
Here's the thing. I think the cutoff in the past was 5%. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. And from the polls I've seen, Nader is over 5%. Buchanan's under 5%. But, you know, I'd like to have him there anyway because, well, you know, it's just entertainment value.
How much past are we talking?
I mean, one suggestion.
How much past?
Yes, how much past?
7.
5% in the past.
About 7 or 8, I think.
8 years or elections?
Wait, what are we talking about? I'm talking about how many percentage points Nader has gotten.
No, how long has this been policy that, you know, 5% or
at least since 19, whatever year Ross Perot first ran. Okay. And I'm pretty sure...
There's not much. What I'm getting at is there's not much past. We're talking about a decade and a half.
Well, there's not much past to the debates, period. I mean, the first real debate was Nixon-Kennedy, wasn't it?
That's come on, Lincoln-Douglas. Keep going back.
I'm talking about televised debates. You know, I think that was the first one. Yeah. And I'm sure if you went back there, you'd find more third-party candidates. It wasn't all Republican, Democrat. But the point is...
It wasn't scripted either.
The last election, 5% would have been enough to get you in the debates. Now, all of a sudden, they just... change the rules. They say, no, it's 15% now. So that, that absolutely closes anybody out, you know, just like that, without any kind of discussion whatsoever. So, okay, you believe that we should at least have some candidates in there, whatever the cutoff is, whether it's, you know, 750 votes or...
I'm saying there's nothing stopping them from debating on their own.
Now, how do you debate with somebody
when
the other person won't talk to you?
You find Harry Brown, you get, who's the other guy, Ralph Nader.
Yeah, that guy. That guy wants to debate Al Gore. Ralph Nader wants to nail Al Gore to the wall on environmental issues. How does he do it when Al Gore will not talk to him? How does that happen?
Continue to, you know, make your point to the people.
How do you do that when the media won't cover it?
The media will cover it.
He's had a rally with 10,000 people. That's more than any other presidential candidate, and the media did not cover it.
If you had two guys yelling at each other in someone's basement in the middle of Long Island, and you just released the transcript, or you released the VHS cassette of what it was going to be, guess what? The 6 o'clock news, the 8 o'clock news is going to air it.
Okay, maybe so. But how do you get Al Gore to respond? That's all I'm saying.
You don't.
Then it's not a debate.
It's his prerogative.
It's not a debate if the guy doesn't talk back. That's the thing. They're ignoring these other people that have something important to say, and they're just simply...
Have them say it.
They're saying it. Yeah, okay. They're saying it every day.
And now you're complaining about how no one's listening. Well, what? They're supposed to get, like, this golden ticket onto all the four major networks at 8 o'clock prime time?
Well,
no.
What do they have to... I'm asking you, what do they have to do?
They have to get on the back of a train and start campaigning like everyone else.
Which they are doing.
Okay.
Now, how do they get the coverage that the other candidates get?
They start saying things that make sense and that actually brings forth from the people some kind of...
Saying things that make sense.
You have to get the people involved and get the people excited about it, at which point it will spread that.
I'm just trying to find out if demonstrating outside where the debates are taking place, do you think that's going to be effective?
Demonstrate,
you think that's going to be effective?
It's not going to make a difference.
It's not going to make... Okay, so what will make a difference?
You had outside the UN. You had people demonstrating outside both conventions. This is just the past 8 months.
All right,
what have these demonstrations done?
Well, I'm trying to work with you here. How do we get people to listen, to say, yeah, you know, Ralph Nader should be in those debates? How do we get them to hear us?
You say something they want to hear.
Okay, but how do we talk to them?
You say something, more importantly, worthy of being heard.
To the people that decide who's going to be debating. We say it to them.
You're caught up on this debate commission thing.
Mm-hmm. They're the ones that decide. That's why I'm caught up on it.
The deck is already stacked against you. The same goes for the media itself. The deck is already stacked against
you. How do we unstack the deck?
You ignore the deck. You deal yourself your own hand.
How do we do that?
Come on, you're the grassroots guy. You should know how to do this sort of stuff.
I'm asking.
Every single throwback hippie today actually forgotten how to do this sort of thing.
Okay, so basically...
You're all making like 8-foot large Giuliani heads and running around in the streets and not really doing much else.
Giuliani's so yesterday, all right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's not even an issue anymore.
He's doing well, by the way, with his cancer treatments. Go, you know.
Isn't that nice?
That's lovely, but the point is...
Well, I'm supporting him.
Yeah. We have a situation here where the majority of Americans, and this is true if you look at the polls... And you look at any poll in Time Magazine and CBS News, wherever they have polls, wherever they've asked this question, should third-party candidates be part of the debates? It's something like 60% say yes.
Okay.
So the majority of the people are not being listened to. What I'm trying to get from you is what should the majority of people do as a result of that?
Who do they talk to? Tell the networks. We want, you know, third parties in debates.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you don't think the networks have seen these poll results?
The networks are doing the polls. They don't really seem to care.
Okay.
And besides that, the networks don't have any say in who debates. They just cover it.
No one has any say in who
debates.
That's
not true.
The Commission
on Debates has a say.
It existed for 15 years.
They have a say.
And where does its authority come from?
I don't
Nowhere.
Know.
Nowhere.
I don't know,
out
but
of
the point is...
like I can.
The point is, they are the only people that can say, Ralph Nader, Pat Buchanan, whoever your guy is, come on in and debate with these people.
No,
they're the only
ones who can say, you know, those three candidates, you can come and debate on our debate program.
Mm-hmm.
If those three other fellows decided to put themselves together and approach the networks and say, hey, we'd like to debate too, whammo! I'm pretty sure there would be some interest.
You don't think they've already said they'd like to debate?
Have they done this?
Nader says it every day. I don't know about the other ones.
All right. Well, what is he supposed to do? I have no idea what he's supposed to do.
You hear that?
That's a dial tone.
No, that's the beginning of our journey.
That's the beginning of our journey.
Yeah. And we're going to call...
The signal of the star.
A phone number now.
Is this...
And you're going to tell me what to do. Because this is the night I ask for your advice, all right? I'm just trying to find... I'm trying to live life, you know, to the fullest here and do everything properly. I've already banned Rebel from the airwaves. That feels good. Now I want to do something else.
It's a productive evening.
Right. Certainly hope somebody's in. You have no idea who we're calling, do you?
I have no idea. I never get briefed before this show.
I would have briefed you about this, except I was stuck in traffic.
Yes.
Thank you for calling the Commission on Presidential Debates. If you know the extension of the party you are trying to reach, please enter it now. To leave a general message, press 0.
Leave a general message, right?
Transferring call. Please hold.
While we're being transferred, advise me. What should I say to these people? You know what? You know the feeling. You know what the majority of people are saying. Should we say anything to them?
I'll leave that to you.
What would you say to them? Nothing? You'll say, good job, guys?
No, I would say, who the heck are you to decide what's going on?
Beautiful. Say that. Go ahead. Say that.
Okay.
I want to hear what you have to say to these people.
Fine.
I can call back later.
You can call back later?
Yeah.
It's going to beep and start recording.
You think they even have somebody answering the phone?
They throw out the tapes at the end of the day, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Commission on Presidential Debates.
Is not available. After recording, either
that
hang
says
up
it all.
Or press 1 for more options. Record at the tone.
Go.
Good evening. I'd like to express my displeasure with the present situation of the presidential debates. I understand that you've arranged it so that only two party candidates, the Democrat candidate and the Republican candidate, will be participating in the debate coming up in a couple of weeks. I, for one, would like to hear more voices involved in this. I believe these other candidates have something important to say, and their additions to the discussion would be most valued. Thank you for your time, and have a pleasant evening.
His name is Isaac. Good night. I'll call back with your number and address later.
That's
but
it's not like they would get back to him.
I could have gone on.
Yeah, you could, and you should. And I think everybody out there should go on and call these
but
people.
But still, these people have no real source of power.
Well, unfortunately, I agree they shouldn't have a real source of power, but they
don't
do.
Have one.
But they are the ones that make
Did
the
Congress
plans.
Did Congress commission them?
I don't know how it works. I don't know how they got this power.
They just appeared out of nowhere
they're the
and
ones,
said, we're the debate committee. And
they're the ones that make the decisions, and yeah, I agree. You
and
know,
they've only made them for the past... 3 or 4 elections.
Whatever, even if they only made them this year, the fact is they made them, and they should not make them without people commenting, and I commend you for commenting.
You do know where they got their money, right?
No.
Oh, from Anheuser-Busch, Sun Microsystems.
Well, that's right. Anheuser-Busch was... No, Anheuser-Busch
yes,
was involved
Yes, I can substantiate it.
Yes. It's substantiatable, definitely. I mean, I've seen that around. That's not debatable. Anyway, the phone number is 202-872-1020. It would be nice if everybody listening called that number and assuming, you know, if you think they're doing a great job and they should only have Tweedledum and Tweedledee up there, well, then go right ahead and commend them for that. But if you think the debate should be a little bit more interesting, then call them and tell them that. And I think maybe if, you know, several million people called them and said that, who knows? It might make a difference. They might just ignore it.
You can also call Budweiser, 800-DIAL-BUD, and they'll read you a nice prepared statement.
Oh,
but,
really?
But it will be read to you live by a human.
Really? Let's do that. That sounds like... Are they there now?
Do the frogs answer?
No frogs.
Oh.
Dial Bud, you say?
Yeah.
What do you have to say to get the prepared announcement? Just that you're concerned about the debates?
You know, ask them to put pressure on the commission to include more candidates.
Okay. See if anybody's there. That transferred. I think I'm going to their after-hours switchboard.
Thank you for calling Anheuser-Busch. We're glad you called us today.
Yeah, sure.
To assure the quality of our service, your call will be monitored or taped. Information specialist will be with you momentarily.
You know, most of the time they say maybe
monitored.
With
yeah.
Anheuser-Busch, it's definitely we will.
Well, if you call when drunk.
Thank you for calling Anheuser-Busch. This is Mike. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. I've been led to understand that Anheuser-Busch is somehow related to the presidential debates. Is that true?
I'd be glad to help you with that. I just need your date of birth to confirm you're of legal drinking age.
my date of birth. Oh, I'm not drinking. I was concerned with the presidential debates and Anheuser-Busch's relation to them.
Okay. Could I just get your zip code for our reference, please?
Zip code now. Yeah, okay. It's 10005.
And that's in New York, New York?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's very good.
And where did you hear about our 800 number?
You know, somebody mentioned it to me in passing, literally passing down the street, and I don't remember who it was, though. I can find out and let you know.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Anheuser-Busch is a sponsor for the debates, and, you know, we just basically sponsor the debates.
Okay. You see, now I was very concerned because I noticed that only two candidates were invited, and there were so many more that have something interesting to say. And, you know, I'd like to be able to have, you know, a real debate with different viewpoints being represented, and I just don't think anyone seems to be taking that seriously.
Okay. Like I said, as we are a sponsor, it's also important to note that we really don't have, or we're not really at liberty to determine any aspect of how the debate will take place. All the issues that involve the debates are determined by the Nonpartisan Commission on Presidential Debates, another group that organizes and runs them. Yes, we are a sponsor, but like I said, we don't have anything to do with how they're run, who's involved, and all that. But I do have some information if you'd like to contact someone, you know, about that.
Yes, please.
It's Ms. Janet Brown, and she's the executive director for the Commission of Presidential Debates. Her address is 1200 New Hampshire Avenue. And that's box 445. And that's in Washington, D.C., 20036.
Okay.
Or she also has a website here that's listed. It's debates.org.
Okay. Is there a phone number?
No, there's not one listed here.
Okay. I have one. Maybe you can give this to people. 202-872-1020.
202-872-1020.
Yeah, so maybe somebody else calls, you can give them that number, too. That goes to that same organization you were just talking about.
Oh, that's an okay.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks very much for your help.
No problem. Would you like to leave your name and address with us?
No, that's okay. Thanks anyway, though.
Thanks for calling Anheuser-Busch.
All right, why would I want to give them my address? Am I going to get beer in the mail or something?
Well, you didn't give them your birthday, so they can't send you that.
Oh, okay. Well, that was enlightening. Let's take some more phone calls. 212-209-2900. Let's go over.
Why do I have a feeling
here.
Someone's painting a big target on my forehead right now? Go ahead.
Good evening.
Good morning.
Morning. Where are you calling from?
Australia.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Oh, it is a morning there. I guess it's another day there, in fact, right?
Yes, it's Wednesday.
Uh-huh. You've got all those Olympians crawling around all over the place, don't you?
Now, here's the thing I don't get. All right, you're having the Olympics down there, right?
Yeah.
They're the Summer Olympics, but it's not summer there. It's winter there.
I guess you're right.
You do know what season it is down there, don't you? I mean, it's winter, right?
Yeah, but it's down south, so it's kind of warm.
I mean, don't you guys feel like you're, you know, the rest of the world kind of doesn't pay attention to what's going on down there? It's like, you know, your summer is our winter.
I live in Queens, so I wouldn't know.
You live in Queens?
Yeah.
So you're not really calling from Australia, are you?
No, I am. I'm going down. My friend's in the Olympics.
So you're in Australia now?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're from Queens. Yeah. I got it. It's a good phone connection.
Yeah.
It really is. So your friend is in the Olympics?
Yeah.
Wow, what does he do?
Sailing.
Sailing?
Yeah.
Cool.
I just wanted to tell you about, there's another problem with Verizon out now.
Uh-oh.
Their DSL service
uh-huh.
is now disconnecting people and their phone, so they have absolutely no phone service either.
Lovely.
That's wonderful. I heard something about Verizon doubling phone rates in some communities around here. If anybody has more information on that, just let us know. But that's the report, that there's a rate increase that will result in double cost. And that's Verizon for you.
Oh, because the Verizon DSL,
mm-hmm.
it only works on copper lines. So if
right.
anyone has a fiber optic line now,
mm-hmm.
it just doesn't work for them. And they can go ahead and cancel your phone service if they want to.
That's horrible. What's the phone service like over there?
It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Net connections, are they, they have DSL over there or they use ISDN?
ISDN.
Okay.
That's it.
All right, thanks for calling. Call from Australia there. You think he was really in Australia?
I don't see why.
It's such a good phone connection.
Yeah, it was
American accent, good phone connection. You know, if you listen to some of our earlier shows when we talked to people in faraway places, you always heard these faraway noises.
Yes, well,
you know,
recall that these were earlier shows back when the technology wasn't exactly.
I know, but I think it was better then because you could tell when you were talking to somebody far away. It sounded like they were far away. Now it's, you know, it sounds like they're next door. And when you use a Sprint phone, it sounds like you're far away. So it's like, you know, what have we really learned from this?
Or a robot.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel, this is Fear Free. How you doing?
How you doing?
I just had some information for you. First, you were talking about what year the, the analog television broadcast would be outlawed.
Yes.
That was 2006.
Okay.
2006.
I got some information last week when I was at our favorite local chain, Nobody Beats the Wiz.
Ah.
Yeah, right.
Don't make the mistake of calling them the Wiz because their real name is Nobody Beats the Wiz.
Right, and yeah. They're actually marketing themselves as the Wiz.
Okay.
And also, what was I going to say? I'm sorry. Oh, and Yahoo Internet Life, as Mister was talking about, you were referred to in Yahoo Internet Life, I would say probably about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
In another issue about privacy, and you were basically mentioned as, you know, the publisher of this magazine as being a terrible, horrible person. So I don't know if you knew about that.
I was mentioned that way? These guys came to me and wanted to do an interview and take pictures and things like that. That's how they referred to me?
If my memory serves me right, they didn't have very nice things to say about you.
Well, if you find that, please forward it to me. I've got some heads to crack. Yeah.
And also, the delay that you experienced, I'm not sure if it is, but do you know if it's Verizon that does it, or is it the on the air?
Oh, I thought you meant the traffic delay. I wasn't about to blame that on Verizon, but no.
I'm talking about the slight phone delay.
I'm not really sure because
I think it may be Verizon.
It's very strange. It might be Verizon.
Well, it's a Sprint phone, so.
That's true. It must have been my Sprint phone. You know, now that I think about it had to have been my Sprint
phone. It's just a digital cellular delay, I guess, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you get that on every single phone call. So
and
yeah,
also,
that's what it was.
Just one more thing. I'm sure you're familiar with Comcast and their offering of cable modem service, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, basically, Comcast of New Jersey is most, I would say, 85% of New Jersey is Comcast. And that 85% has had cable modem service for at least 2 years now. And it is what I consider real cable service, which is cable download, cable upload.
Cool.
They just, excuse me, they just gave the other 5% cable modem service. It was like, okay, 2 years later, that's nice. You know, they did it. But what they didn't tell us until, I just happened to live in the area that just was just activated, but they didn't tell us until you call up the number that's on the postcard that they send out, says it's available now, that it's not real cable modem service.
Mm-hmm.
We waited 2 years for cable download, phone line upload. And it's just completely outrageous.
Wonderful.
I just wanted to inform people about that because I think Comcast is a bunch of idiots now.
All right. Thanks for letting us know.
Nice talking to you, man.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
That's
reminds me of DirectPC.
You've used that?
Well, I've seen it, and I've seen it used.
Uh-huh.
But basically, you know, phone line up, broadcast down.
Right.
The idea being that that's the only way you can really push the bandwidth.
Mm-hmm. I mean, does that work? Because I've never actually used
it. It works. I mean, you know, you use like a 28.8 or a 33.6 to dial up,
mm-hmm.
and you receive the data over your DirecTV or
right.
DirectPC
right.
dish. You know, they basically beam it up to the satellite. It comes down, and you have the wider link down, but mm-hmm. You're limited in how you talk up.
Yeah, but the difference there is that I don't think anybody in their right mind would think that you actually have an uplink to a satellite.
You
with
a
cable
surprised.
Modem, you would expect to get
you
good speed.
You would be surprised.
Yeah. I guess there's no doubt there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Like San Francisco and Paris, why are there no public toilets on the streets of New York?
Ah, that question keeps coming back to us.
There are parks.
Well, no, he doesn't mean bushes and trees.
No, I mean in the parks.
Okay, yeah. Those ones. Yeah, but other cities do have in the streets, and they get clean.
Porta potties on the corner or something?
Yeah. You know,
between the telephone booth and the newspaper stand.
It's funny because when I was on my way over here and I was stopped on the expressway for about 20 minutes, there's a part where they're doing construction. It's a big porta potty just sitting there in the middle of the road in the part where they're constructing. I would have had enough time to get out of the car, use that facility, and come back, and I wouldn't have, you know, nobody would have moved.
I wouldn't have tried it.
Well, I didn't have to, but it just would have been funny, I think.
Okay.
Would have given the other motorist a good laugh, something to talk about when they finally got home. Good evening. You're on the air.
So actually, if I put one outside my house, I'd probably get a like a little porta potty. I'd get a summons or something from Department of Sanitation.
I don't know. Is it legal to put a porta potty outside your house? That's a good question.
But you know, if we're not on a time delay, or if we are actually, then I'm like a star. Like you're hearing my last voice after I'm gone.
Uh-huh.
That's not why I call. Yeah, I forgot where I called. No. You know, the turn of the century here, the phone company lost its data. And I know that personally because I was on a certain list of don't let him go past the month of paying his bill.
Uh-huh.
And that changed. They lost certain data, but they're not telling anybody. So.
What did they lose?
Well, they lost programming.
Okay. And apart from not being on this list anymore, is there any other indication you have that they've done this?
Well, I mean, that was indication enough because now I can go 3 months without paying my bill.
Uh-huh.
Before it was they would, you know, catch me every month, we're going to disconnect you, whatever.
Yeah.
And now that I'm talking about it, they'll probably put me back on. So, but
yes, you're being targeted as we speak.
But don't you know it's fixed? Come on, there's no hope. The last time I voted was for Goldwater, and he won, but he lost because he had no chance. I mean, don't they get the popularity vote? And then the electoral college comes along, and you know.
Yeah. The electoral college—it's all a sham. I know. The point is to get people talking about issues.
So what if we start a new network, like a new government or something? Or let's use AOL as a platform. And
no, let's not get off on the wrong foot. Use some nice open source type of systems to set up a shadow government. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, and then they join us and subvert us, you know, and like redirect us and.
Yeah.
But it's not hopeless.
It's not hopeless as long as people stay awake, and that's you know, yeah, we all know Ralph Nader's not going to win. We all know Pat Buchanan. Well, I guess that might cheer me up.
1-800-GO-PAT-GO.
Oh yeah, please go as far as you possibly can.
But you know one thing, I used to think that people really knew the truth, but when you go out and take your own poll and you see how many. I love you all, but ignorant people out there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. They buy it.
Yeah.
They buy it.
Well, just look at the garbage on TV, and that'll tell you, like, you know, the mentality that is being fostered out there. I'm not saying people are born stupid, but they're programmed to be stupid. And, you know, stupid populace is a safe populace.
I think the answer is with young people.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And somehow people who care should get into the school system and begin by teaching them a class in compassion.
Right.
I know I was never taught in school compassion.
And the reason young people care is because they have time to think. When you get older, you know, you have all these pressures of, you know, full-time job, raising family, you know, fitting in various ways. And you just basically, any kind of individuality is definitely looked down upon. So, yeah, you have to avoid that. There are people that survive. But when you're young, that's when you actually have the chance to develop your mind, and that's a very important time of life. So thanks for bringing up these issues. They're very important to think about as well. Something else I want to mention before I forget. Tonight on PBS is a special on Pacifica, actually, a documentary,
really?
a program called POV. I'm not sure. Here in New York, it airs on Channel 13 at 10. Other parts of the country, I'm not sure when it airs. Check your local schedule. But it's a documentary on KPFA, actually, the first Pacifica station that's 50 years old. And 51 years old now, I think.
51.
Yeah. And I haven't seen it, but I listened to an interview in the news earlier with the director of the documentary, and it certainly seemed like she understood the whole concept of non-commercial radio, of alternative thoughts and things like that. So it should be very interesting to watch. And if you look at that, you'll get a sense as to what drives people here at WBAI. So I definitely would suggest looking at that later on tonight. Let's take another phone call. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please. Oh, I'm sorry.
How are you doing?
Oh, sorry. I had you down. Okay. Go ahead.
No problem. I heard you saying something about when we finally all go digital, that we won't be able to record, like, TV shows or even this radio show and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. What what makes you think that's all right to be able to record these things? I mean, to watch them, make sure they get out, make sure the word and the free speech flows is one thing, but to be able to record them, how is that somehow something?
Well, I mean, it's an issue that's already been debated. The whole time shifting argument, being allowed to to record something for personal use, being allowed to to make a copy of a newspaper article for your own personal use. It's known as fair use, and it's something that's been backed up many, many times. If we're going to change that, we should at least say that we're going to change that instead of camouflaging it in this legislation called the DMCA that simply says digital copyright must be protected and then slipping
in. And that
covers
everything that's broadcast over the digital is what you're saying.
Yeah, everything that's, a DVD is digital.
Whether it has to do with copyright infringement or not, right?
Right, right. And it's basically going to cripple any fair use and freedom of expression and all kinds of things.
And what did you say that thing was called that you said was already been debated, the free use? What did you say it was called?
It's called fair use.
Fair use.
Yeah, and
that's
that basically
a legal term?
Yeah, I mean, it allows you, say there's an image in a film that you think is a really neat picture and you just want to have that as your background on your computer. You know, that's called fair use. You can do that. You can grab an image from that and put it.
Well, they don't distribute it, correct?
Right. But with DVDs, they can make it so that you can't grab that frame. You can't do that. They can say whatever they want. They can say, you can only watch this film on alternate Thursdays in Tibet, and it's, they're the copyright holder, so the DMCA gives them the right to do that. And it's,
I mean, if the person creates that image, what's wrong with them saying, okay, I don't want you to use it?
Well, it's a very difficult thing to make conditions like that. What does that noise mean?
Yeah, I was going to say, what's that moaning in the back?
Go ahead, tell us. Elaborate on that.
The artist's requests need to be addressed and
yeah, I agree. But you have to also balance that with public rights and to say, I don't want my song played in any Kmart. Well, I mean, come on, does an artist have a right to say that? I mean, yeah, you can say that.
Certainly.
But do you really have a right to expect that to be upheld? Do you have?
Certainly.
How are you going to do that? That's, it starts to get crazy after
it
a while.
It becomes a licensing issue.
It becomes a nightmare is what it becomes.
Then it goes to the artist, where if your licensing is too restrictive, then no one's going to be able to hear your song in the first place, and it's not going to make a difference.
At what point are they told your requirements are too restrictive? At what point do they say this is nonsense?
They should be able to restrict it all the way down to, I only want my mother-in-law to hear it on second Thursday.
Okay, that's wonderful, but how are you going to enforce that?
That's another story.
Well, that's the story I'm interested in.
You drag the person who infringes upon it into court, and you...
It just seems to me this is going to lead to a lot more days in court, and I really think that's not the way to address this.
But that's actually not what's happening. What's happening is you have these large corporations going against the easier targets. For instance, the people who just create DCSS. Mm-hmm. It is a tool. The people are not going about infringing upon copyright. The people who use that tool in a way that allows them to create copies, which you don't even need to, but that's aside... The folks down in, Thailand who are making 5,000 runs of Braveheart, the DVD, are the ones who should be prosecuted,
absolutely,
not the folks who are, making DCSS. But it's a lot easier to go after the people who are doing DCSS. It's a lot less costly because you're not hiding.
Do you go after the person who tries to watch a DVD in Europe that he bought in America? Do you go after that? Because that's the same kind of violation right there.
You can go after him. It's not, but the point is it's not going to have the turnover monetarily to make it worthwhile.
Yeah, but you're saying it's okay for them to do that. It's okay
for them to
intimidate people to say if you copy a picture and put it on your own personal computer, not even your webpage, but your background. Right, but fair use is being legislated away. That's the problem.
That's something that people really have to wake up to and start banging down the doors of their congressmen and saying, hello, this is a problem.
Well, bang down some other doors, too. Bang down the the film studios, the MPAA, and those people, because they're the ones that are pushing this through.
They're not going to listen.
You think the congressmen are going to listen?
They're the ones who wrote DMCA, and they're already unhappy with it.
All right, well, let's make sure they get even more unhappy with it. Vote everybody out of office who voted for the DMCA, and that's just about everybody. So we got some work to do ahead of us. All right, folks, sorry for the crazy start of the show, but I think we worked it out okay.
Yeah.
Next week, I'll leave 5 hours early. Hopefully, this won't happen again. Till then, Emmanuel for Isaac. Good night.
We couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Oh, Billy Bump, for the best, expect the worst. I hope that's understood, but Billy Bump. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Dave, you're A.
Yeah, this is going to be longer than I
You're call. A.
Yeah. Yeah, we always
this
get these.
This is a hard script.
We get these in one take all the time.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. This will never happen again.
Okay, no.
That's why I do my show alone.
The category is radio programs on WBAI.
Name a program featuring the word desk.
Go! Bill Farrar's Jazz Desk.
That is incorrect.
That's Bill Farrar's Jazz Sampler.
Oh, Walden's Desk?
No!
You mean Walden's Pond with Sheldon Walden.
Wake Up Desk?
Hour of the Desk?
Afrokaleida Desk?
Liquid Sound Desk? No, the answer is...
Paul Williams, UFO Desk, alternate Sundays at 1 a.m.
Get up or stay up. Let some alien information into your mind. Keep your radio on.
It is 9 o'clock on Tuesday, and you're tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM in New York, your community-sponsored radio. Coming up next, Tahrir, your weekly magazine, Arab and Muslim magazine, hosted by Barbara Nimri Aziz.